And our guest is Thomas Goodrich, and he is the author of numerous books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. It came out in 2010. His website is thomasgoodrich.com to see the documentary that is based on this wonderful book. You may do that at hellstormdocumentary.com. Okay, well, that was fun to have two other people on. Thomas, so are you there? Thomas, are you there? Did we lose Thomas or what? Okay, let's... Yeah, so where did... Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, somebody's typing. Okay, he's typing something. All righty, well, let's take Andy in Texas has a question. So let's go ahead and take Andy.
Well, hi. It's nice to be on your show again. I was listening to your guest and whatnot, and that's a fascinating young. I still would think she's a teenager at 24, but it's fascinating the knowledge that she has. You know, when you talk about the world wars and whatnot, we talk about how we actually provoked the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor, and what they did is they embargoed. Not just oil, but oil was the biggest thing from China to get the Japanese to go ahead and attack us. And they moved all the newer ships out of Pearl Harbor prior to that, which should have been some clue to some of the people that were in the military at that time or whatnot. Not to mention that, you know, the Rockefellers were selling Hitler oil, and so was Prescott Bush, the...
You know, I guess you've read that book that people bring this up all the time, and they say that that somehow Prescott Bush financed Adolf Hitler, which is not true at all. And the book
I wasn't
going to
say that.
Huh?
I wasn't going to say that. He didn't finance it. He actually sold oil to them during the war. He didn't actually finance them. But the Warburgs were in power at the same time. We had a Warburg running our Federal Reserve and a Warburg running the World Bank in England. And one was feeding the German side, one was feeding our side, you know, loaning us the money to do what they needed to do. But I guess the entire point that I was trying to make is that all wars are political wars. They're it's like Wesley, or Wesley, what was his name? General Smedley Butler said, "All wars are banker wars."
Yes,
this is the point I'm getting at.
Yeah, he wrote the book "War Is a Racket," and he figured it out right away. And he joined the Marine Corps. He loved the uniform. He thought he was going to go out and do wonderful things. And he discovered right off that it's a big racket. It's all about seizing resources from other countries, and it's about corporatocracy taking over the world, and it is about resources, definitely.
Well, and he also was, I guess it would be by an intelligence agency, I can't actually say the CIA or whatnot, but he was also approached to do a coup on the federal government. They approached him and gave him an incentive to pull a coup off, and he said no. That's when he came out and said all wars are banker wars, and that war was a racket. He actually did a speech in front of a bunch of people and whatnot. So, I mean, the guy was well-educated and whatnot, but here's the thing. We don't have anybody in power. Maybe Donald Trump, I don't know, but we don't have anybody in power that can reverse all this stuff that we've done. I mean, I was in the military for 8 years, and I didn't do anything with my little oath that I took to the Constitution. I didn't do anything to stop what I did. I was in during the first Gulf War. I didn't do anything to stop what was going on. I followed directions. I followed orders. And if I didn't, well, I'd probably be sitting in Leavenworth right now. But the point of the matter is that somebody somewhere has to uphold and protect and defend that Constitution, and we're so far off of that Constitution. We've gone off of the continent here. It just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, you almost want to say, what is freedom anymore? My idea of freedom is harm nobody and nobody's property, and you can do what the hell you want to do. And that's freedom. And technically, if there's no victim, there can be no crime. And we've got all these things on the books and stuff that are telling us this is a crime. You know, and the crime is, the victim is the words on a piece of paper that you failed to read and follow. And this is ridiculous, this particular point that we're in life right now. You don't follow the words on a piece of paper, then the paper has become a victim. Therefore, we can bring you into court. I mean, that's not freedom, and there's so much of it. I mean, look at the bureaucracy that's built up around us right now.
Sure. Well, you know, the military, I mean, they go through boot camp. You're brainwashed with a lot of, you're brainwashed. That's what boot camp is. And you go out and you're expected to follow instructions and directions. And we are brought up in a very authoritarian country. We follow our teachers, our parents. We are trained. We're trained to be obedient. And maybe that isn't such a good thing. I think that we shouldn't be so obedient, so acquiescent to doing what we're told to do.
Well, and there's several polls that come out every year, and since the first one I actually read, where we were the 17th freest nation in the world, it turns out that now we're number 22. So we're falling off the pattern here, and yet we get these commercials and people on TV telling us how free we are. We're the freest nation in the world. We've got all these civil liberties and all this stuff. You don't have none of it. None of it exists.
Sure.
None of it.
Well, thank you, Andy, for your phone call. Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate you. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh,
Andy is an intelligent man, just like myself. He was in the military. And, yeah, you hit it on the head. You call it boot camp. Probably it ought to be called brain camp or brainwashing camp, because that's what it's all about, basically, to turn you into a robot. And that's why we have so many terrible things that happen in war, because these people basically are just following orders. But yeah, I'm sorry I went off there a little bit off Skype.
That's okay.
I just hit something and it went off, and anyway.
Let's take another phone call. Let's take John in Arlington.
Hello.
John.
You were talking about. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Uh huh. Welcome.
Welcome.
Go ahead.
I want to know. You earlier were talking about Japan, hellstorm of Japan.
Yes.
Was it? See, I had to go. I had to leave at that point. I don't know what you're talking about. There was a plan. There were several attempts by the Japanese to sue for peace before they actually surrendered. Correct?
Yes.
Oh yes. Oh
yes.
My gosh.
Yes.
Oh, it was so awful. Oh, but they had these bombs, and by heck, they were going to drop them, and it didn't matter whether Japan wanted to. I mean, they months before, they accepted.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
well,
Tom.
Well, January, I believe, was the earliest I found that the Japanese were trying through middlemen to sue for peace. We've had enough. This is it. But it was refused. It was turned down because the war is going perfectly, of course. And don't forget this, the atomic bombs had not been fully developed yet, and they wanted to, that was one of the big things they wanted. That's why they kept dragging this thing out, war in the Pacific, because they wanted to use these atomic bombs to show not just Russia, but the world of what we have now, so don't screw with us. But yeah, good point. And by the way, there were many other attempts to reach a conclusion, a peaceful conclusion to the war. Conclusion. No, they were trying to just stop the damn war, and it was refused for very many reasons, but mostly the atomic bomb.
Sure. Adolf Hitler had a bunch of peace plans before the war ever started. So, I mean, there was a lot of... They could have negotiated. They could have talked. They could have avoided... They could have avoided 50 million people being slaughtered.
Well, there's another question.
I've heard that.
Excuse me, go on, Andy.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, what about the and the plans for Operation Downfall, Operations Olympic at Cornet, which were planned the planned invasions of Kyushu and Honshu? Was this ever serious? Were these smoke screens, or did they ever seriously plan to invade the metropolitan Japan?
Deanna knows more about that than I do, I'm sorry to say.
Well, they were treating Japan just in the exact same way that they were treating Germany. They were bombing all the cities that they could bomb, turning everything into tinder. And the first two cities that they bombed were big Christian centers. So, I don't know whether I can answer your other question.
Let me say this, John. That probably, yes, they probably had some legitimate plans to invade Japan. I bet they did, because there was no guarantee that the atomic bombs would work as they hoped they would. There was no guarantee that the Japanese, even if they worked as planned, that the Japanese would surrender. Even with Russia in the war, and they were in the war toward the end, and the atomic bombs, Japan could have continued. But that is when Truman decided, yeah, okay, now we'll make peace. Unconditional surrender after the atomic bombs. It was virtually the same peace offered by the Japanese in January, if I remember correctly.
It was
January 28th.
Yeah.
That's when they offered it.
Yep.
That wasn't the first one either, though. We intercepted the peace feelers they sent out
in December.
To Switzerland. No, in April of 1944.
Okay.
That was the earliest they had. They'd broken their diplomatic code, and they intercepted and decoded it. So the Japanese didn't know that we knew about it at that point, but the Russians weren't passing it on. So how would it have been if we had invaded Japan? I mean, sent in the army and invaded.
What do you think, Deanna? I think it would have been terrible.
Of course.
But we did have utter, total air control. And the Japanese would have been killed by the millions. Countless children, women and children, died. There's no doubt about that. And they died even before the invasion. It would have been no good for anyone. So, in a way, it's good that the atomic bombs came along when they did. Now, if Truman had had 500 atomic bombs, he would have used them all. And it's just lucky that Germany did not continue the war until, let's say, August of 1945, because they would have been used on Germany as well.
Sure. If there was anything left of Germany to use it on. It's a lot easier for a military to just be dropping bombs on cities. It's a little bit different when you're looking somebody in the eye when you shoot them, okay? It's easy to press a button.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, we're here.
It's easier to press a button. But what would have been the geopolitical outcome of that?
It'd be speculation to figure that out. I mean, we did have Americans fighting Japanese in hand-to-hand combat, so I'm not sure what your question is.
Well, I don't know. How much of the entire population would have resisted us outside the military? Would it have been, would there have been protracted guerrilla fighting?
Who knows? It would be speculation to say. And, when you're doing total war, which is what the U.S. military does, you don't care who you shoot, who you kill, you destroy everything in your path. It's a scorched earth policy. And so, I don't know. It'd be speculation to suggest what the consequences would be or what the situation would be.
Mm-hmm. It would have been different from Vietnam in the sense that there would have been no doubt, that there would have been no guessing who the enemy was and who wasn't. Everyone from the small to the from the unborn babe up to 90-year-old women would have been down to the last man and woman and child.
Sure, sure. Well, John, thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All righty. Let's take Randy in Arkansas. Randy? Hi.
I just wanted to say, I know everybody's trusting Trump, and I want it to all be right, too, but Trump's married into the, you know, he's married into them. So, I don't, it, to me, it's kind of like a, when Russia and the U.S. were fighting Germany, and then after they defeated their real enemy, well, then they went back to being against each other where they could both take advantage of the taxpayers' money. And, you know, it's just, I just don't trust it. I mean, and I may be wrong.
Let me offer this to you. We all have relatives. I have them. Perhaps you have them that are not on the same page with us politically. Now, simply because they're relatives or close family, close friends or family, that doesn't mean that we're going to go their way, that we'll get on page with them by changing our attitude. Trump, I'll tell you what, I like the signals he's sending out. Now, it's true that this is not going to be a perfect. But Trump, I don't think, well, again, we're back to the speculation. But it's like Deanna keeps bringing up, with so much Jewish criticism against Trump, he can't be that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but they, you know, they're notorious for playing both sides of every, you know, and that's where I'm afraid we're headed.
There's quite a bit of hate out there for Trump right now in the Jewish press, Jewish media. I mean, really, some serious stuff. Agitation also, attempts to stoke these riots even to even greater degrees. And also, I've got to say what I mentioned earlier, it could be bad. We could have gotten Hillary. So I'm going to take the gifts. I'm going to take the gifts where I can get them. And right now, I feel like we've had a reprieve. This attempt to extirpate or to genocide white Americans and all of Europeans, I think it's been put on a 4-year hiatus. I think we're given 4 years now to work with, and by golly, we better be working with this. The questions are fine. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm basically with you. But it cannot be denied that now we've got a chance. This was going pretty quickly, and had Hillary won, yes, there would have been a mob of people crossing the border, not just from the Mexican border either, of all the South or the Central American and Mexicans. I live here in Florida, and there's lots of island people, black people, coming in illegally into this country. A lot of people don't know this, don't talk about it, but they're coming in by the millions.
Wow.
And we did not have much time ahead, because had Hillary won, you could just kiss the next, the 2020 election right out. You could just kiss goodbye. Because some people say 4 million, some people say 10 million illegals voted in California alone against Trump, for Hillary. Wow. And I'm telling how many other millions in this country voted against Trump, for Hillary, this last election. So, with, let's just say, another 50 million people sashay across the border, you can forget everything. And then I'm afraid that the killing will begin. Killing. I mean literally killing. Yes. Killing white people. You can see it right now everywhere. You can see the agitation for it. This hate whitey approach. This Black Lives Matter. And the mobs in the streets. Yeah, many of them are technically white people doing this. That's how far the agitation and the brainwashing has gone. I think we've got 4 years to work with, and by damn, we better be working with it. I plan on it personally. And I do plan on holding Trump's feet to the fire about illegal immigration in this country. I plan on reminding him every chance I get personally that we still have anywhere from 11 to 50 million people, according to your sources, illegal in this country that will vote Democrat, vote against white interests in 2020 election. These have got to go. They got to go in 4 years. Right now, we're going pretty damn slow. I know he's only been in there a month. But you figure it up, how many millions have got to be kicked out of this country and how many months we have to work with. We've got to be putting millions out of this country right now. Or we're screwed, simply screwed. And the killing will begin in 2020 unless we stop it. Europe right now, there is hope in Europe too, by the way, right now. Orban in Hungary, of course, and Le Pen in France, and now Brexit in
exactly.
UK.
Oh, yes, exactly. Okay, Randy, thank you for calling. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Take more calls.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from...
All righty, we are back. All righty. I think Randy in Arkansas hung up. Okay. Right? Okay, let's go on to Kent in West Virginia. Kent, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're keeping a level head and reminding us about Kushner and all the ties to Netanyahu and everything. And I can tell you, I'm white. And I've known about Trump for probably 35 years, and I've hated him for 35 years, and I'm not going to stop hating him. Now, granted, it's a good thing we didn't get Hillary, but nevertheless, we can't lose sight of the fact that what we have may ultimately end up to be worse, in the sense that he's tied, like every other people, black people, white people, everything, Jewish people on a spectrum, and if you regard Netanyahu as the worst of the worst on the worst end of the spectrum, you may have a situation where you've allied yourself with the worst. And these other Jewish voices that are railing against Trump are just reflecting, their attitudes towards that end of the spectrum and to where Trump has positioned himself. And so just because they're Jewish, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're automatically wrong in this context. And so, always remember that Kushner and, let's face it. A lot of people think Netanyahu said 9/11 was good for Israel. And a lot of people are very suspicious about that and about the London bombings. And yet there he is with... Kushner and the Kushner family and the Netanyahus are best of friends, and there's articles in the newspaper about this Jared Kushner Netanyahu stayed in their house, slept in Jared Kushner's bed, and all this stuff, and this question of whether
Well, let's hope Jared
how much control
was
Kushner has over Trump and everything. So I don't like he's. I mean, I know
Sorry,
people are
Dad.
Excited, but I don't like to. Go ahead.
I just made a comment.
I heard it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She hoped that when Netanyahu slept in Kushner's bed, that Jared wasn't in it.
Oh. Well, we don't know.
I just couldn't resist. Sorry, I have an evil mind. I guess it's just knowing, the politicians here in Chicago, and also we just got over Obama being president. I mean, it's just you have to kind of think about those. Well, you don't have to, but
it helps.
And, it helps.
Yes. Thank you. You remember Charles Percy, who was the senator there?
Oh, yes.
In
yes.
Illinois.
I don't remember him,
but
I love him.
You remember the case where he was. He had a very strong pro-Israel voting record, but nevertheless, they overthrew him for, was it Paul Simon that took his place? And we may have a situation where, although Clinton was very strong, they were basically renting her contributions, But now with this Trump, they own him because all of his kids are married to Jews and all his business dealings. And he's just wrapped up in it, so I don't know. I'm very suspicious of him, and everybody's familiar with this concept of sheep tipping. Everybody knows that, so I think it's time that people think, well, maybe all this clamoring about against him, by the Jewish media and everything, maybe it's a sheep tipping process too. So
yeah, you can tell. It could be a victim card. Say, oh, gosh, you're picking on him. Gosh, maybe he's really good. So you have to consider all these things and just sit back and watch.
Yeah, and I communicate with various people. And that attitude is, well, look at who's against him. Well, he must be good. And then
right.
and also... people who would know everything about Netanyahu, but nevertheless, that's not TV, just because he's friends with Netanyahu. It's just this sort of media manipulation that they've created, I think is really a, we don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm very suspicious of his real intention, he said,
sure.
"Make America great again." But then there's something called the Greater Israel Project, and Greater Trump's great, and I'm not really sure what his administration, what the motive is.
Sure. Well, like I say, we'll just have to wait and see.
Speaking about Japan, I recommend everybody watch NHK World TV. I watch it quite a bit, and they are really phenomenally talented people. Their craftsmanship.
They are. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you want to say anything about what Kent said before we go on to another caller?
No. I thought he made some really good points in there.
Indeed. Okay, let's take Ferner. Ferner, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mr. Goodrich.
Hi, Ferner.
Yeah, as I say, the pot has to be shaken up and see where the chaff is and what actually is left in substance at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But in regard to Trump, I would say he entered the dance floor due to the election. But the dance partners that are already on the dance floor, he cannot decide about that. And money buys a lot of access to that dance floor.
Yeah. Go on, Ferner, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
You're in Canada, aren't you, Ferner?
I'm here north of the border in New Brunswick. They might fly in Canada, they might fly a different flag. But the Canadian ships, they sail under the same head command. They're commanded by the same entities.
Yeah. Right.
And what was today? I'm getting an email from Mike Rich. Are you familiar with? He runs a Facebook site, Tomato Bubble.
Deanna, maybe I'm not.
I'm familiar with him. Mm-hmm.
This was very informative, what I got there today, where he basically described the events that led to the time before the First World War and the Second World War, and how diligently it had been set up by Benjamin Disraeli, the former British Prime Minister, in order to accommodate certain historical events that worked toward the ultimate agenda in destroying the independent nations and feed them all into the global dictatorship.
Well, that's, that definitely was all orchestrated, and it had been for a very long time.
Yeah, and I always ask the question, who are the victims and who are the perpetrators? And we better take a good look at the ones that point onto others of being the perpetrators, so the victims get victimized twice. And this is one of the favorite strategies what they have been using all through history.
And
there is the misinterpretation of the German national anthem, where we were not allowed to sing the first verse, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles in der Welt. That did not mean that Germany wanted to conquer the world. Looking at the history, over the last at least 1,500, pretty near 2,000 years, how the people in Germany always got invaded by foreign powers, from the south, from the west, from the north, from the east. And the only way they could survive was that they always joined forces again to form a defense against the foreign invaders.
Right.
And this is so many that write about the history. You know, before they start writing, they better check about the real history. And most of them, they are basically political horse for hire. They got an axe to grind where they're getting paid for.
Sure. Or they're just simply ignorant. There's a lot of ignorant people out there.
And people here in North America, they don't realize freedom is a freedom to take on responsibility.
Sure.
And the people don't get it yet. And too many people here in North America, with all their military actions that have been taken over the last 100 years all around the world, you know, the people in North America, most of them, they didn't even know what kind of horrible things were done in their name. You know?
Exactly.
And then they're getting brainwashed.
Sure.
By people within the community to receive them as a glorious warriors that defended freedom and justice. That's a bunch of BS.
That's true.
You know?
That is so true. Well,
and
thank you.
Diana, best thing, one message to many of the so-called patriotic church ladies. You know, what did the Lord say? Blessed are the peacemakers, not the warmongers. You know, they sent their sons and daughters out to go to war with people they didn't have any business to go to war. And then when they come back in coffins, then they cry crocodile tears. But they still, you know, don't want to face up to the reality, you know.
Sure. Sure. Well, what they say, patriotism is the last tactic of the scoundrel.
Yeah. And anyway, people have to start waking up, and I don't think we have until 2020. It is a possibility that the Almighty One will step in before 2020, even as close as 2017.
Okay. Well, thank you, Werner, for your phone call.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Mr. Goodrich.
Thank you, Werner.
Okay, let's take Gaither in Oklahoma. Is there somebody by that name, Gaither?
Yeah, right here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Y'all doing good today?
Yes, how about you?
Well, nothing to brag about, but... Yeah, I got a little story about World War II.
That's like me, too, Gaither.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about World War II. My grandfather and me used to hunt all the time, and he had those night terrors. You know, he's a World War II vet, and he had night terrors, and I'd ask family to go, oh, it's a war. And so one time he had a real bad night terror. I mean, completely, we tore the whole camp up, and I asked him, Grandpa, what, it's a war? And he goes, son, no, I can handle the war. He goes, it's what we did to the people after the war. He goes, they made me a. They made me a guard of the camp. And he goes, we were to refuse them food. He goes, can you imagine these people saying the Lord's Prayer in English across the fence to you, and you're denying them food? And this it blew his mind. And so, I mean, a lot of people don't understand that not necessarily the war messed a lot of these guys up. It was what they did after.
Yep.
Anyway, I just, you know. And then I had one other question. I was hoping that girl from Japan was still on, but the last 5 years I've been researching Nagasaki and Fukushima, you know, the bombs. And I started wondering, around zero, I even called up the Chamber of Commerce and said, y'all living there? And they go, yeah. They go, well, I mean, people are right there on ground zero. They go, yeah, plants, everything, fine, the city. I'm going... You have like three-eyed dogs running around. They go, no, everything's fine. And I'm going, well, we were taught in school, if you have a nuclear bomb, you can't live there for 10,000 years, whatever. You know what I mean? If you remember right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, no, everything's fine. And then so I talked to my great uncle, and he said, no, they invented oxygen bombs back then, and they call them nukes. They put plutonium in it to spread it around and blow on people. He goes, but no, it's just a plasma bomb, and he just sucks oxygen in, and it looks like a nuclear bomb. He goes, but they don't have nukes. And so I'm still, I mean, to this day, I'm 55. I can't figure it out. But anyway, I was wondering if you knew anything, and I'll go off the air for your answer. Thank you.
I don't know a solid thing about that. Do you, Diana?
I don't either, but no, I don't. I know that it was a devastating situation. It was very destructive. People were killed, and I've seen pictures where bodies were actually burned into where they were sitting. I mean, it was just horrific, just awful. But whether it's there's consequences, health consequences, I don't know.
Whatever name they call it, it's a hell of a weapon for a few seconds at least.
Yes.
And I just soon not have any more landing on Earth being tossed at people. That's something else about this business. Why did Trump suddenly, back to Trump, but I thought we were going to get out of World War III when Hillary was shown the door. She seemed the biggest warmonger ever to run for political office. And now Trump, he's talking about Iran right now. Wait a minute.
Right.
Are we going to go back to the bad old days of Bush? So, yeah, there's plenty of things I'm concerned about with Trump.
Yeah.
But the wall is not one of them. I believe he's going to follow through with that.
Sure.
Something that will give us some breathing space in the next 4 years to work for survival. To work for survival. Simple as
sure.
that.
Sure. Sure. All right, let's take Terry in Wisconsin. Terry?
I just wanted to change this a little bit around. I think the real boogeyman here is Organizing for Action, which is the organization that's been put together by Obama. They're being heavily funded.
The shadow government.
They're being hugely funded right now. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a hammer and sickle flying over the Capitol here, even though we got a Republican governor. There's a lot of problems, and it goes deep into the universities and whatnot, but this organization is paying $2,500 a month for people to sign up. Right now they have 30,000 people actively involved. They've opened up 250 offices throughout the United States, including Madison, Wisconsin. They're training in recruit right now. I think it's 2,500 people that are going through a course, and it's they're claiming that some of the information that's being sent out has to do with the radicalization. Basically, Zelensky and some of his ideas are being pushed out to these people. During the Berkeley riots, these guys that were black hooded and black face masked are these people. And they're bringing it big, and they're going to bring it heavy. They've even got some dates in mind that this possibility of some of this stuff getting started. I really think that your major cities are really going to have some problems once this guy gets rolling. I don't know who's bankrolling Obama. It could be Soros. I don't know. But to take some guy that's working at Mickey D's and then throwing him $2,500 in cash to come out here and shake the weeds and cause some problems, this is just the beginning. So all this talk about Trump and everything being the boogeyman, the real boogeyman is the guy that just left.
Yeah, I've heard some of what you've said.
Organizing for Action, they call it OFA.
Yes. I've heard about this.
A very serious organization. I mean, you could talk about the Tea Party. You could talk about all these things that were done on the right. But you don't see Tea Party guys throwing firebombs. And this is what this is about.
Wow.
I don't know if anything better could happen for America.
How's that?
Quite seriously, I'm very serious about that. I think we would go through such a purge that we would never have another problem with rioters in the streets ever again. And so I personally am not scared one iota of this organization you're talking about. I think it would be, from their perspective, it would be the worst possible mistake they could make. Now, we've got the guns. We've got the people, we've got the manpower, and Trump, right after he was elected president, he extended the olive branch. He did the typical things that presidents do. He said, let us bury the hatchet. Let us come together. Let us become brothers and sisters once again. Well, hey, I am so sorry, but I do not want to come together. I do not want to be brothers and sisters again. I do not want to bury the hatchet with the other side. They started this filthy war right now that's going on for the streets of America, and I'm all for finishing it. I got to tell you.
The problem that I see with this, and I understand what you're saying, but the biggest problem is if they are forced to declare martial law, then you've got a situation where the left is going to start screaming that he's a fascist. You know, he's pushing people. I mean, they've had fake news stories about him supposedly bringing the military in to go after some of these illegals. And, you know, whether that's, you know, real or not, I seem to think it's probably fake news. But, I mean, you know, if they can get this guy in a position where he pulls the trigger, and it's one thing to have people in the streets, it's another thing to have to organize the military. And I think that Soros's end game has to do with anarchy, you know, discredit, throw this guy under the bus, whatever they got to do to get where they need to go. But what you're saying is interesting, because there's probably a lot of people that are ready to rock and roll, so to speak. And, you know, what is that going to do for the country?
Oh, the country's going to suffer, of course, because it'll be a quasi-civil war. But the worst mistake they could make would be to follow through with this. And I think, consequently, from our perspective, the best scenario is exactly that. Yes, I'd love to purge our country of these motley misfits that think that looting, burning, raping, and plundering is just the fashion, the great thing to be. We've went through that through the entire campaign. Remember, they were chasing and beating our people who would simply go out.
I saw what happened in Chicago.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I saw when Trump was pushed out of the U of I pavilion. Those guys were serious down there, man. There were cops that got bloodied down there.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I mean, these guys are real. I don't... You know, maybe they're limp-wristed little bitches, and when you come up against some big, bad old ex-Marine, they might decide to turn tail. But I think some of these guys are, you know, they're such zealots that I think they're just going to try to step up and do what they can do. But they will hurt women and children in their path. Those are easy, soft targets. And maybe guys like you can make a difference in this thing. But I'm just telling you, it's just... This Organization for Action is the most dangerous thing I have heard, and Obama's fingerprints are all over this. His bunker is being built 2 miles away from the state capitol, or from the U.S. Capitol, and they're building a huge wall around it and all this kind of crap. I mean, this is just nuts. And this guy is I'm sure he's worried about losing everything that he supposedly accomplished in 8 years. But he's going about it in a way that's just total anarchy.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Terry. Appreciate your phone call. All righty. Let's go on to Byron in Canada. Byron? Oh, Byron's gone. Okay. All righty. Maybe he'll call back. Yeah, he's... Okay. Well... Thomas, what do you think of what Terry said?
Generally, I'm a very easygoing guy, a peace-loving man. I, you know, I've written enough about war to know exactly what we're talking about. On the other hand, there is no way in holy hell I want to go through 4 years of this. These Marxist doing anything they want in the street, beating and chasing our people. We're 60 million strong who voted for Trump, and there's a considerable a number of men who own guns in that. We're a pretty good fallback militia if the armed forces would ever need us. And so I am not concerned, not worried in the least about this mob. This is the tantrum. This is the millennial tantrum. Temper tantrum we're going through right now. And although their screams may be loud, I am not one bit afraid of their bite.
Wow.
We will survive, trust me. And in the same fashion, I would I hope they have their tickets ready to jump out of this country when things get hot, because they have no idea what they're raining down upon themselves. If all of this is true, and I have no reason to doubt that, let's just go from this perspective. It's sedition, what they're talking about.
Right.
That's illegal. And you can call out the Marines and the Guard and everybody else for something like this. This is sedition. It's open revolt, no matter what they may want to call it.
Or the pretense under which they are acting.
We have a duly elected president right now, and that's good enough for me. There's no, in fact, if anything, we probably should be doing more to investigate voter fraud. I cannot believe the election is as close as the Jewish media would have us believe. In fact, I guarantee you, down here in Florida, where he supposedly just eked one by, that's a lie. It's a damn lie, too.
Exactly. All righty. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is Deanna, and our guest is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including Hell, Storm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944-1947. Well, I'm very concerned about the situation, too, and I'm concerned about the political leaders that are in place locally, not so much nationally, but in our own, in Illinois. We have Rahm Emanuel as the mayor of Chicago. His father was a criminal. He bombed buses. We have his brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, who wrote Obamacare. I mean, you have to look behind the curtain, sort of, and see what these people are attempting to do. And we have politicians here in Illinois who want to make the whole state a sanctuary state. And I'm thinking, aren't you thinking about your own welfare. Why don't you think about your families? How are you going to support your families if all the jobs are going to be taken by people coming in? What are people thinking? Are they not thinking? What the heck's going on?
I suppose they figure they're going to somehow miraculously pull out of this. In other words, they can. You're still talking about your local state politicians who think they can turn the entire state of Illinois into a sanctuary state. And they assume, they presume that they are going to come out of this without their hair being messed up a little bit. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's some high insanity in high places in Illinois, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully, situations like this in Illinois and L.A. and other crazy places, hopefully this will be where we really see who Trump is or isn't. Because is Illinois still a state in the United States of America, or is it not? Can it basically snub their nose at the American president who's carrying out the will of the people, or not? Simple as that. And, hey, by the way, I've got another subject for you that I'm going to try to get in here real quick. California, Cal exit, up for it or down for it? Up, do you think it should happen or not?
No. I grew up in California. I feel so bad about what is happening out there. The flooding from all of this heavy snowfall, the mudslides, the fact that they have destroyed so much of the production, the food production in California. It's a disaster, absolutely a disaster. And I think it's been very deliberate. And so it just makes us more dependent upon other countries for produce that we always got from California. So, yeah,
as a Californian, I can see what you're saying, but I'm not a Californian. I just say let them go. Take the 50 senators and representatives, take the enormous amount of Democratic votes with you, or let us build a wall around them. I've got relatives still in California that I love. Give them the opportunity to get out of there, but then allow California to go, because they're going to drag us down. To cleanse that state would take trillions of dollars.
Yes.
But again, yes. I'm not from California, Deanna, and I understand what you're saying.
Yes. Well, thank you so very much, Thomas, for being with me for 3 hours. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you next week.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.